So, Kennesaw State Oral History Project, Cobb County NAACP and Civil Rights Series, interview with Marjorie Woods, conducted by William Travis Freed, November 4th, 2009. Location is the New Hope United Methodist Church. Really quick, Ms. Woods, how about we get started with some of your background? Did you grow up here in Mableton?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I grew up, I moved to Mableton about when I was 12 years old. It was about early 60s. And so I grew up from about the third or fourth grade. So, mm-hmm. Yes, so I would say I'm a citizen of Mableton.
Now, where were you at before then?
Atlanta. And kind of like Northwest Atlanta.
Northwest Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me about the original neighborhood, if you can remember.
The original neighborhood was Northwest Atlanta. It was an African-American neighborhood. I grew up in that community, very close-knit community. It was like, as I was remembering, I was thinking, that it was kind of like where everybody took care of everybody else. You know, we all knew each other, and all the parents were like parents to everyone. It was like the village type community. So everybody knew everybody, and everybody took care of everybody else. I went to school in the. The school was probably about 10 miles, and of course we were transported, didn't have to walk, transported by bus. I do remember a couple of things as growing up in that community. It was right about the time when a lot of integration. It was about the time, you know, during the integration, and I remember as a child riding, getting on the bus with my mom to go downtown area where we shop, and getting on the back of the bus and going to the back of the bus. As a very young child, I do remember that. But
it's the city transportation.
It wasn't MARTA then, but it was the city transportation for metropolitan Atlanta. So I remember, that's really the only thing I remember as a part of my growing up with the segregation in the beginning. I was in the midst of the integration part of it. But the community was, like I said, African American community, and we were very close knit.
Now, you say you're having a hard time remembering about it, but do you remember any sort of like the feelings, maybe conversations that your parents were having about integration?
About integration? I do remember once we moved to Cobb County is when I experienced the integration part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And initially when we moved, I was probably 11, 12 years old.
About what year was that?
60, if you calculate, it's a 153, so 12, that's what that would be, 65. So about that time, they were beginning, the civil rights were very prevalent.
The civil rights,
with Martin Luther King and the civil rights, and so they began to integrate the school systems in Cobb County. Because initially when we moved here, like I said, it was 11, 12, we were bused all the way up to Austell. This is Mapleton. I live right here in Mapleton, really for about 1 mile on a dirt road from here in this area. So we were bused from this area all the way up to Austell, like a little bit past downtown Austell. And it's Joe Jerkins Boulevard now. It used to be Washington Street. And the name of the school was Washington Street Elementary School. I can't calculate the miles, but, you know, at that time, you know, the bus picked us up and took us all the way there. And there were just a few of us in that community. Then they integrated the schools. And when they integrated the schools, we had to attend the closest school within a certain radius of where we live. And when they did that, we were all the ones that were going, and I was in, at the time I was, well, even before that, when they integrated the schools, the first school that I went to was the middle school. So the middle school was all still middle school. And it was, when we integrated it, it was predominantly white. And of course, the blacks from the elementary, the black elementary school, which was Washington Street, we were all, I was sent there to the middle school, which was all still middle school. And then they made us go to the closest school to us, which was when I went to the high school. And the closest school to me was Pebblebrook High School in this area. And it was, at that time, it was predominantly white.
Okay. Now, in Pebblebrook, where you graduated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I graduated from Pebblebrook in 1971.
So, from Washington Street Elementary to Austell Middle School to Pebblebrook High School.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Going back to Washington Street Elementary. Washington Street Elementary was an African-American school, correct?
Predominantly African-American school. And of course, that's what, you know, from Atlanta, when I moved from Atlanta, coming from predominantly African-American elementary school, and I went to Washington Street, I guess maybe 1 or 2 years prior to going to Austell Middle School. So it was, you know, those two, actually, I went to two African-American schools, and for a total of like six or seven years when I started school. Through the, I think it was maybe 6th or 7th grade.
And this was in Atlanta?
And but I went from Atlanta, I think it was like from Atlanta, I think I might have been like the 4th or 5th grade when I went from to Atlanta school. And then when we moved to Cobb County, I think I was probably maybe 5th, 6th, 7th or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So I attended two African American schools in the elementary years, and then the middle school I went to integrated school. When they integrated the school systems, I went to a middle school.
And that was Austell.
Austell, it was Austell Middle School they called it. Then no, it's Austell Junior High. I think they called it the junior high, not middle school at that time. So it was junior high. And then from Austell Junior High, I went to Pebblebrook.
Okay. Now, before Washington Street, you were in school in Atlanta, and you said it was predominantly black. Now, was it integrated as well?
It was all black. All black. The neighborhood was predominantly black.
What do you remember about that school?
I was very young, and so I do remember the classes were large. And I guess because of the community. And of course, you know, you got all African Americans going to the African American schools, and then they put us in. This was, I remember specifically the 4th grade, that they had so many of us that they put us, you know, several of us in one classroom, and they had to like bring other teachers, and not necessarily hire teachers, but they had to have other teachers to help with the classes, you know, to move from one class because it was so large to 4th grade and come and teach the 4th grade. So I remember that because, and reason why I guess the schools were large is because you had several different African Americans communities, but only one elementary school. So we were like, you know, all of us, we didn't have, they weren't building a lot of African American schools. And so we all were going to just one or two centrally located schools for several African American communities. So the classrooms were very large.
Now, was the school itself large as well?
No, it wasn't. Today, then, of course, they build on. But no, the school, I can't remember how large or how many classrooms, but no. But you can imagine it went through like the 6th or 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine that's a lot of students.
It's coming definitely
from,
a packed house.
A lot of students coming from a lot of different communities that surrounded that. And I only remember maybe, three elementary schools at that time, because I had friends that went to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about three elementary schools and multiple African American communities in that, in Northwest Atlanta, that we kind of went to.
Okay, I'm assuming that the teachers at that school were all African American as well.
They were all African, all the administrators were all African American, predominantly African American.
Did anybody particularly stand out to you that you can remember?
I have one teacher, and this was in the fourth grade. That was probably my last grade before I left there. But I remember one teacher, and my sisters and brothers had the same teacher. Her name was Mrs. McCormick. And everybody was terrified of her because she was very mean. And when I went to the fourth grade, and people had talked about her, my sisters and brothers who had her, you know, in prior years, who were older than I, had talked about her, and everybody knew Mrs. McCormick, and nobody wanted Mrs. McCormick. So what happened was, when I went to the fourth grade, they put me in Mrs. McCormick. That's when I remember this so well. They put me in Mrs. McCormick's classroom. I cried the whole day, the first day. The next day, it was so many of us in that classroom, is when they had to come and pull some of us and divide the class because it was so many. And so they came in, and they just start pointing out people. And I was looking at the person, the administrator, that was pointing people out to say, you. And I was looking with such pitiful eyes, and she said, you. And I was the happiest person because I didn't understand missing. I was terrified. I guess they could see that, too. I was terrified of her. And they pulled me from her and put me in Mrs. Hall room. And this was a fourth grade class. Mrs. Hall was a very, very sweet person. And I remember totally opposite from Mrs. McCormick. Yeah, so now, she was my last teacher at that school. I think that was about fourth grade.
Not Mrs. McCormick, she's just a real disciplinary teacher.
Yeah, just mean.
So you're upset because of reputation more than anything else.
I don't know. She was an angry person. She had, and I remember she was short, feisty. Probably she had the short people syndrome, you know. So, but yes, she was. And I think even over the years, I don't know, and the people have said, and I think I did see her, she used to walk a lot downtown Atlanta. And you know, at that time we didn't know it, it was dementia, you know, walking around in downtown, just kind of and people would say, that's Miss McCormick. And you know, and that's very strange, you know. Of course, you know, with the medicine now, we know it was dementia. But I think, you know, that's what kind of happened to Miss McCormick before she left here, though.
Now, what you said, you moved when you're around 11 or 12. What was the reason for the move?
My dad, my family is very large. My family is of 12, but like Mary Cater, her 14, I think.
Yeah.
And my dad purchased some land over here in Cobb County. He must have purchased it maybe back in the early 60s. And he purchased 4 acres of land for about $400.
4 acres for
$400? $100 an acre in Cobb County.
Wow.
And for $400, he purchased 4 acres of land in 1 mile from here off the Ivy Road. It was a dirt road, and
you said off Ivy Road?
Mm-hmm.
Ivy Road. You live right near the Katie. Or Mary Katie.
Yeah, we were neighbors, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right down right in walking distance, because we had to walk about a mile to get to each other's house, but yeah, that's what we were. So, and he purchased that land, and he farmed the land at first. You know, he had a garden, and he farmed that land, and he would travel from Atlanta. My dad worked two jobs. I always know my dad to work two jobs. He worked at Southern Railway, and then he worked for some picture framing company at one time.
So is that what he was doing when y'all were living in Atlanta, working for Southern Rail?
He worked for Southern Railroad all my life. I remember him working for Southern Railroad, and he would come. He would work late, you know, at night, and on the weekends he spent all the weekends and in the time he worked mostly like the night shift. So he was mostly home during the day till about. He went to work at 3 o'clock
at Southern Rail. He was night shift.
He would, the time that he was off, he would take and come over here, but we were in Atlanta, Northwest Atlanta, and he would come over here and grow and tend to his garden, basically. And I think he had chickens and pigs over there too, on Ivy Road. And he built a home there on the 4 acres of land. He built a home. It was a 5-bedroom home and on the 4 acres of land. And he continued to, you know, grow in his garden. I say farm, if it was close to farming. And so we moved over here. I think he must have purchased it maybe early 60s, but we moved over here probably, like I said, about 60, anywhere from 65 to 68. I have to go back and look. But we moved over here at that particular time into the house that he built.
But regardless, he was back and forth after he moved here.
But after we moved here, you know, of course, we moved into the house. But before we moved here, he was in Atlanta.
Okay.
And on his days off, on the weekend, he spent most of the time just coming over here.
Right up on Ivy Road.
And on Ivy Road, taking care of the farmland, seeing to the pigs and the chicken and the things that he had out there. And we had a huge garden. And I don't have fond memories of that garden because I had to work it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it paid off. It kept me alive. And it was a while before I got used to eating processed food, because my mom always food out the can and things that had been like green beans and turnip greens and things of that always come fresh from the garden, tomatoes, corn, and all that. My mom always took it and she canned it. Mm-hmm. My mom never worked. She had 12 kids, of course, so she never worked. So she always took care of everything that the garden harvest. My mom always took it, canned it, and put it up, you know, for us, you know. Mm-hmm. At the time of the season that it was harvested, it was green beans. She'd take it, and I remember as a child, us having to go and pick the green beans. We'd break them. She'd cook them in a pressure cooker, put them in jars, and she stored them in a place down in the basement. So I always had fresh vegetables. It took a while for me when I got married to get used to not having fresh vegetables like that.
Kind of wanted to get back to
it. Yeah, and I did as much as possible.
All right, now, when your father's working, while he worked for Southern Railway, mm-hmm. Mainly, I'm assuming, back in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
What do you remember what he did for Southern Railway?
I remember when my mom filled out applications and things for school or something,
mm-hmm.
and it had he did like some type of maintenance on the train, so I think it said like engine cleaner,
mm-hmm.
Clean the engines. I remember him being very dirty, from, you know, he wore this, you know, overall coveralls,
mm-hmm.
and remember, and now that you mentioned it, I never thought about it, but he kind of always smelled like oil. Mm-hmm. So I think what he did, they kind of like had a pressure
washer,
and he probably, now that I think about it, he probably stood there and just kind of cleaned the main engine off the train. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting, you know, maybe I need to go back and find out what he actually did.
Maybe.
I think I'll do that.
But the reason I ask is because Southern Rail was an integrated workforce.
Yeah, it probably was. The blacks probably had maintenance jobs and that.
He wasn't a lineman.
No, nothing like that. Okay. So they probably had very minimal job.
Mm.
You know, nothing like. You would see it on the corporate side, on the administrative side, of course, but probably something like more or less maintenance side of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you said your mother just tended to the family.
My mom had 12 kids, so I never know my mom to work. I don't think she ever worked, not while she was married, at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So 11, 12 rolls around, and you move on up to here in Mapleton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where you started attending Washington Street Elementary?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we attended Washington Street. And at Washington Street, it was kind of different for me. Coming from Atlanta, it was like coming... And not that Atlanta was, to me, was somebody would say, if you were from the North, would say, what country. But then when I went to Washington, came from Atlanta to Washington Street, it was different culture.
Mm-hmm.
And... And some of the things, it was funny, we're all still in the metropolitan Atlanta, but we still had different values and saw the different morals, I would say. And one thing was that my mom always stressed education and make sure you get your education. And then I saw some of the students there that their mom and dads didn't put as much time into them, and it sometimes it may come from single family homes, but they didn't value some things, their values and their morals, I guess, were a little bit different than the way my mom and dad brought me up, you know. And sometimes, like I said, it may have come from a single family homes. The education part of it, I didn't understand, because the teachers sometimes were, the teachers really didn't encourage the students. Sometimes it was very discouraging.
How so? Can you give me an example?
I really hate to say this, but this is what it was. Sometimes they would say things like, I got mine, you better get yours. Education.
Mm-hmm.
I know your mom and your dad, and you're never going to be anything. Those type of things. And I had never, even, you know, in the environment that I came from, Atlanta, I didn't understand why the teachers, I mean, my husband often talked about that too. Why would a teacher say that to a child? And now I look back at it, my mom and my dad would never have, you know, said anything like that to really discourage me. So mm-hmm. when you go to school and you hear something like that,
and this is at Washington Street. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so instead of inspiring, sometimes at Washington Street, I think sometimes they discouraged, because it was a close-knit community. Mm-hmm. And I think the teachers knew some of the parents, so when they made remarks like that, it's because they knew the parents. And they would say, it's some things like, you know, some things were very negative.
A little more judgmental than they probably should have been.
Mm-hmm, because they knew the parent and I guess thought they knew the child because they knew the parent. So, but no, it was kind of a different culture.
Now, other than just a couple of the negative teachers, do you remember anything else about Washington Street? Like the building itself, the classrooms, class sizes?
I can't remember the class sizes. I think they were smaller.
Smaller than Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. The school, I think I only really went there the last half. We moved in April of 68. And I think 68. And so I went to Washington Street like the last of my sixth grade year and the seventh grade, so maybe probably a total of 12 months, I'm gonna say a total of 12 months. So that was my time there before being going to Austell Middle School. So I'm trying to remember a lot about. I remember we had the teachers disciplined the students.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that too much in the other school, in the school in Atlanta, mm-hmm. but the teacher physically disciplined.
Like paddle in the hands.
Paddle, yeah. And that was allowed then. They paddle on the hand, on the butt, wherever, and that was allowed. I would probably remember getting a paddling too, and they make you hold your hand out, and one of the teachers, and it's probably for talking. It was from talking. I didn't talk very much. I was very quiet in school, mm-hmm. but you know, you had your friends, and they catch you whispering, in which I'm sure it was the case, and they would paddle you. They paddled you for if you're, you know, talking or out of order in class in any way, and they paddled you if you didn't get your homework.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably saying strange to you. You're coming from a very different contemporary society. But at that time, they did paddle you just like you would get a paddling at home. They would paddle you at school. And they would make you hold your hands out and hit you with a ruler. In some cases, they had belts.
Oh.
And they would spank, they would spank the kids with the belts. The teachers, most of the time, boys, they would spank the boys.
Okay. But while you're at Washington Street, school integration was, about to roll around or right at that time. And do you remember your parents talking about it?
Or anybody in general
being concerned?
I don't remember a whole lot of the conversation, but what I remember specifically, when I got to Austell Middle School, when I went to the middle school, it wasn't a hard transition.
Mm-hmm.
And because it wasn't, because a lot of my friends from the predominantly Washington Street came with me, so I had the support of them when we made that transition from totally African American to the integrated school, to the white school. So it wasn't as hard of an adjustment because I had, the companionship of my classmates that came with us. So it was more of us in number. But when I made the transition from Pebblebrook, from the middle school, which was, I went to middle school like the 8th and the 9th grade,
mm-hmm.
and the junior high, so it was junior high. I went to 8th and the 9th grade. But when I went to the 10th grade and went to Pebblebrook, the predominantly white school, it was only maybe 3-4 at the most African Americans that attended at predominantly white school. That was where the culture shock really was set in.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, with the intimidation, not afraid of not being accepting and just being new to that type of environment. So my parents, when we were first, some of the things that took place with the integration was the busing.
Mm-hmm.
What we had, the bus, they would not allow the bus to come down in the black, for the white school, for Pebblebrook.
Mm-hmm.
They would not allow this little yellow bus to come down on Ivy Road, and it was a dirt road at the time. They wouldn't allow it to come down to pick us up. So they had one of the buses from the African American school, which was the African American school was no longer existed, but
mm-hmm.
But they had some of the steel bus drivers to come down, pick us up, and take us. It took us up to a point, to probably about 3 miles up the road to catch the white bus to school.
So they didn't even get the bus to come all the way to you. You had to split up the run.
Yeah. They had an African-American bus driver,
mm-hmm.
and I guess he was with Cobb County, to come down the dirt road to pick us up and take us up to meet the white bus.
Hmm. Now, do you remember when the county or the state first announced it to you? Did you get like a letter in the mail?
I don't recall. I don't recall that at all. Being young, I guess my parents mm-hmm. probably would have. Probably was more on the news than in anything that I heard. About the integration. But what I was where I was headed was that my mom did not like that we had to be bused. That she didn't understand. This is one conversation that went on. She didn't understand why the white bus couldn't come down and pick mm-hmm. us up. My mother wasn't very vocal about it or taking it to the county to find out. But I think one of the neighbors' mom, like Mary Ward's mom,
mm-hmm.
and some of the other neighbors got together, and eventually they had the buses to come down and pick us up. But even prior to that, if the black bus driver didn't pick us up, for some reason he didn't pick us up, we had to walk those 1 or 2 miles from our home up to meet the white bus. Of course, my mom didn't like that. She, like I said, she just wasn't very vocal about it.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, too, the adjustment period, when they first integrated the school, I had a very hard time, and I would come home every day and cry. And my mom tried to talk to my dad. I remember her talking to my dad because she was very upset because I would be upset every day. And she really and truly, she didn't want us to, she didn't like the integration part of it. But my dad pushed it because he said that we have to pave the way for the others. So he saw that. My dad's from Alabama. My mom didn't. My mom was like, I guess my mom was like kind of a shelter, and she wants the best for us, and she wants us to be comfortable.
Was she always from Northwest Atlanta?
So she was. She was from Atlanta.
So she grew up in an African-American, close-knit community. And yeah, you said your father was from Alabama?
My father's from Alabama. And my father had the more of the exposure working with, and you know, in working with whites, and my mother didn't. So he knew the importance of everybody, you know, integrating, you know, in a society that's integrating. So my father knew that. So he pushed. So my mom tried to talk him into allowing us to be to go up to the. They still had the African American high school, which was Lemon Street. They still had that high school. So she tried to talk my dad into allowing me to go there because I was so miserable.
But he
He wouldn't have it.
So he was more about progress than he was about easy transition.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, that's where he saw the real need in it. In us doing it, he understood it more so than she did. So that was one of the conversations that I remember them having, and she was very upset. The situation that we had to go, either walk to the bus or the bus driver had to come get us and take us up there, and then with, you know, me not adjusting very well to the school.
Now with the adjustment, Austell Junior High was the first integrated school you went to. What was that like going from a school that, you know, all the staff and faculty was African American to one where it was either mixed or predominantly white? I'm assuming predominantly white.
It was predominantly white. It was a better transition than my experience at the high school, where, you know, was the adjustment.
But did you find yourself getting treated differently than you had before?
We were treated differently. Of course, we were exposed to a lot more than we were in the African American school. One thing I remember in the African American school, we used to get books, and the books came from the white schools, and they were most of the time already written in. And sometimes the pages were torn, and sometimes the backing and the binding was off of the books.
So it's just hand-me-down.
But when we went to the white school, we had new books. So I remember that as a child.
That must have been exciting.
Yeah, brand new books. We rarely had, but we didn't have brand new books at the black school. But even they made us take care of, in the black school, they made us take care of the books. We would have to, I don't know, you probably never had to do this, but we had to wrap the books. Even the raggedy books that were torn up and pages worn, and we had to wrap our books in African American schools to, you know,
prolong the life.
Yeah, right. But in the white school, from each grade, I remember 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, had brand new books, and, you know, of course, they were brand new books, and of course, if they had been used, they had just been used a year or two by the previous student. And, but I do remember, we had, in some of the classrooms, we changed the different class for the different subjects. The teaching part of it was different than what I experienced in the black school.
How so?
I think just the style and method of teaching was different than I experienced. I'm trying to see how. Um, how was it specific? I'll give you specifics.
Was it more just institutionalized?
Yeah. Probably more methodical.
Because there wasn't that close knit.
Yeah, maybe more methodical, but more work, heavier workload. They expected, more from you, I guess. The workload definitely was different. I adjusted very well. I think, I don't remember. I'll tell you about the high school, but I adjusted very well. I remember an incident in one of my English classes, and I've always done well in English. And her name was Mrs. Goodman. You can strike the name if you have to. But she and one of the other teachers didn't adjust too well to the black community coming mm-hmm. to the school. And it was like she was one of these teachers that kind of ran the school, kind of like the person that kind of...
like a senior teacher.
Yeah, right. Yes. So heads and seniority. So she didn't adjust too well, but she taught English. And in the English class, I made very good grades. Mm-hmm. I remember dissecting sentences and, just grammar. And I made very good grades. As a matter of fact, I made all A's and B's on my tests and all assignments. And one day, what she did was she called out the grades of each student. She went mm-hmm. down, and it was letter grades. She'd say A minus, B, B plus, and she went down and she called out all my grades. And she called out everybody's. Mm-hmm. Then she brought to attention of the class that me and one other guy, his name was Michael, I don't remember his last name, mm-hmm. were the two top students in the class. And we had, because of our grade, and we had the highest grade. And I can't remember what the letter grades or what it was like, like 98, 99. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was like A's, all A's and maybe B's that we got. But anyway, when I got my report card, I had a C. She called out all the grades.
She changed
your
grade.
Yeah, she changed my grade.
Huh.
I had a C, but in the classroom, me and Michael were A students. I would say A, B students. And we were the highest in the class of the two of us. But when I got my report card, I had a C. That stuck with me for years, even today, because I'm sharing mm-hmm. it with you. But I never could understand why she would give me a C when all my grades were A's and B's in that class.
But it was obviously not just an error.
Exactly, right. It was no error at all.
Did you ever take it to her?
No. To me, I was still a teenager and just didn't... I thought about it, as an adult, but as a teenager, I wasn't, I just wasn't very vocal, and I never did say mm-hmm. anything about it. I just accepted it. Very passive, I guess. So I look back at it now. I say if I had to do all over, it would be different. Because, yeah, but definitely she read. This is like the end of the it was quarters, I guess, then, and she told us all of our grades, and my grade was no lower than an A minus at least, and she gave me a C. And I'll never forget that. So I attributed that to being something more than her not dealing with any integration.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought
just
about that.
Didn't want it to succeed.
Mm-hmm. I also remember a time when I went to the bathroom and the teacher, she and one other teacher,
this is Miss Goodman.
Miss Goodman. Mm-hmm. Goodwin. Goodwin. I went to the restroom and she and one other teacher were in the girls' restroom talking. And I came in and I was kind of startled when I come in. And they looked at me and because of their conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at me and I can't remember what her response was, but she said something like, you need to hurry back and get to class or something like that. But I think I interrupted their conversation, mm-hmm. and I had the strangest feeling that it wasn't anything positive to build anybody up. So
Now, did you find yourself noticing a lot of that? You know, after the transition, I'm assuming you're talking mostly about Pebblebrook.
No, this is Austell. I haven't got to Pebblebrook. I'll tell you about Pebblebrook. Haven't got to that's Austell Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I can remember. Those specifically some things. I don't remember a lot of racism. I don't remember a lot of racism at Austell.
Mm-hmm. Because I was talking to Suzanne Henry, and, uh-huh. and she was mentioning how she noticed that, you know, once she made it to the integrated school, it'd still be like, you know, you had to stand last in the line. You never got your chance to move to the front of the line to be like the line leader. Of course, she was talking about elementary school.
Oh, okay.
Experience.
Okay, she probably, perhaps.
She was a little bit behind.
Exactly. And that may have been the case with the line series. I don't remember blatant racism mm-hmm. other than with Miss Goodwin.
So all in all, Austell Junior High wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't traumatic for me. It was a very good experience. I just remember. I think even with, like I said, I had the support and the surroundings of mm-hmm. my other African American friends from school. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember a whole lot. I'm sure there might have been some issues, but I can't remember other than Miss Goodwin for some reason that stick with me, and the other teacher. But I don't remember the teachers actually being very racist mm-hmm. at all, other than her.
What do you remember about your feelings as far as being able to mix with the white students? Did you actually talk to them a lot, or was it kind of more they kept to themselves, we kept to ourselves, kind of thing?
I'm trying to remember. It is so strange that I don't remember, of course, a lot about Austell, because I guess I went maybe 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember maybe one class, and I don't know which one it was, a class that mostly blacks were in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was, I don't remember any remedial classes, but it seemed like mostly blacks were in that class. It was maybe a history or science class or something.
Okay.
And mostly, so I'm wondering if they had it was several of us, if they had certain classes that we went to, and it may have been a remedial class, but I just don't remember details. But I remember a class that only blacks were in that classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what class that was. But I don't remember anything, any blatant racism too much other than that experience.
Okay.
And Austell.
Well, Austell Junior High must have been more of a quiet experience
mm-hmm.
at all.
It was.
Well, tell me about Pebblebrook.
At Pebblebrook, there were only just a few of us there. In my class, I went there when I was in the 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe 5 blacks, African American, and then later on that first year, that was the first year, the second year, maybe one or two more came. So mm-hmm. it ended up being maybe, in my class, it was 2, and me and one other girl that graduated together.
And what year did you graduate again?
We graduate at 71.
Mm-hmm.
It was just 2 in the class of 71. Her name was Janice Daniel, but and she may can tell you some things too. But I would say I experienced more racism in the high school from the principal. Not a lot from the teachers. I don't remember a whole lot from the teachers. They did. They kept a hidden. But from some of the students. A lot of students try to befriend you, especially the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And these are, you know, the white students, they befriended me. And but what was really strange was that when we were amongst ourselves in a setting where I remember one girl, and I thought she was my friend, and but when we were with among ourselves, we, you know, she would talk and we would laugh, and we were just like best friends.
Mm-hmm.
But when in the presence of others, then she act like she didn't act like she didn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood that, you know, being maybe in the 10th grade, and I never understand, like, how you can you be my friend when we're alone, but when, you know, others come around, then you totally ignore me, like I'm not there. So I remember one girl, her name was Wendy Bagwell. She was like a captain of the cheerleading, very, very... her dad, you know where, you know, Wendy Bagwell, highway with Thornton Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's back. The one end of it is Bagwell.
Mm-hmm.
That's her dad. It's named after her dad. And they have a furniture store over here off of Veterans Moore. But Wendy was like very popular in school, and she kind of embraced just being, embraced us. And I think that because she did, a lot of other people began to accept us.
Group mentality kind of took over.
Yeah.
Well, if the popular girls
exactly,
doing it,
exactly.
It's got to be all right.
Uh-huh. And so she kind of led the way for a lot of them to open up to us. And the teachers were okay. The principal, the first year principal, was... I'm just going to be put it out there. He was very racist.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. McQuarrie. And I don't think he lasted there maybe a year that I was there. But Mr. McQuarrie was very racist. And I'll tell you why. We didn't go. Sometimes we didn't feel comfortable in the pep rallies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they, you know how you have pep rallies on Friday. We used to have pep rallies.